from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo receives courtesy call from Palestinian Foreign Minister. The World Bank provides $1 billion loan assistance for natural disasters in Indonesia. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo or Jokowi received a courtesy call from Palestinian Foreign Affairs Minister Riyad Al-Maliki at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday. President Jokowi was accompanied by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno L.P. Marsudi while receiving Al-Maliki, who was accompanied by Palestinian Ambassador to Indonesia Zuhair Al-Sun. They held a discussion in the veranda of the palace. On Sunday, Al-Maliki took part in an event titled Walk for Peace and Humanity, the Joint Walk to Independence for Palestine, as part of the Solidarity for Palestine Week organized by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry in Jakarta. The Walk for Peace and Humanity activity was held to strengthen solidarity and deepen understanding of the wider community of Indonesia's contribution and role in the struggle for Palestinian independence. Al-Maliki noted that all support and solidarity shown by the Indonesian government and people were like a breath of fresh air for Palestine. The Solidarity Week for Palestine began in Bandung, West Java by inaugurating the Palestine Walk, followed by a Walk for Peace and Humanity in Jakarta. The World Bank provides up to $1 billion in loans in the form of loans to the Indonesian government to complement relief and construction and reconstruction efforts in affected areas such as in Sulawesi and Lombok. Chief Executive Officer of the World Bank, Kristalina Georgieva, at a joint press conference with Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati in Nusa Dua, Bali on Sunday, October the 14th, said that this assistance was also intended to strengthen long-term resilience. The funding will be available upon request from the Indonesian government. It will be followed by a $5 million grant for technical assistance for detailed planning to ensure that the reconstruction will last well and be implemented on a community-based basis. Kristalina Georgieva said the World Bank's aid package could include cash transfer funds for the 150,000 families affected by the disaster for a period of between 6 months to 1 year. Strengthening the existing social protection system is designed to support local economies and jobs during the recovery phase and to avoid long-term damage to human capital.
The World Bank is making up to $1 billion available to the Indonesian authorities to use once they get full understanding of what may be needed. And we prioritize three things. One, build resilience for the future, not only in Lombok and in Sulawesi, but build resilience for the country because disasters will continue to hit, and with climate change, there will be more of those. We will also provide funding for cash transfers to support 150,000 families that are in the two places that are most severely impacted, that are most vulnerable. Last but not least, of course, we will support the direct reconstruction efforts. What we want to see is to build neighborhoods, not houses, not streets, but neighborhoods, so that strong resilience of the Indonesian communities can be protected and people can go together in their new homes.
The proposed $1 billion US aid package could also include a new independent emergency recovery program to finance the rebuilding of public facilities and important infrastructure assets such as hospitals, schools, bridges, and clean water. Assistance will also strengthen the monitoring system and early warning. The annual meeting of International Monetary Fund, or the 2018 IMF World Bank Group meeting in Bali, ended on Sunday, October the 14th. The success of the meeting held by Indonesia gets appreciation from Managing Director of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, and President of the World Bank, Jim Yong Kim. Lagarde said that the success of the meeting is a fascinating accomplishment started 3 years ago. She also said that IMF is a friend of Indonesia. Insert Lagarde dalam bahasa Inggris. Meanwhile, President of the World Bank, Jim Yong Kim, said that Indonesian nation is a nation with resilience and compassionate, and the World Bank is glad to respond to Indonesia's compassion and ready to help Indonesia.
This incredible achievement actually started 3 years ago. It's a long voyage to Indonesia that all of us have embarked upon when Indonesia was selected from a list of many candidates as the best possible location to have the meeting of the World Bank and the IMF. Terima kasih Indonesia. Atas Sherry Leila Anda. And I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. The IMF is a friend of Indonesia. We're here to stand by you when it's tough, when it's good. And I would like to say simply, IMF adalah tenan Indonesia.
In the end of the press conference, Minister of Finance of Indonesia, Sri Mulyani, also announced that Morocco is selected as the next host of the IMF meeting in 2021. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that Indonesia starts focusing not only developing the Sharia financial industry commercially, but also socially. For the Indonesian government, Sharia products also facilitate the funding in a bid to help Indonesia to achieve the national development goals. It was stated by Finance Minister Sri Mulyani in the 2018 International Monetary Fund and the World Bank annual meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali on Sunday, October 14, based on the report from Antara News Agency. Minister Sri Mulyani told that the Sharia financial industry could be used to eliminate poverty and inequality by providing the fundamental needs of society, empower people with low income, and support access to business activities. Indonesian Ambassador to Singapore, Ngurah Sriwijaya, has promoted Labuan Bajo and Komodo National Park in West Manggarai, East Nusa Tenggara Province, to Singaporean investors participating in the 2018 IMFWB annual meeting held in Nusa Dua, Bali. Deputy Head of the Bank Indonesia Representative Office in East Nusa Tenggara, Muhammad Syarial, informed Antara News Agency in Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara on Monday that Ambassador Sriwijaya has been in Labuan Bajo since Saturday along with two investors who will invest in Labuan Bajo. Syarial explained that Ambassador Sriwijaya's visit to Labuan Bajo along with investors who had invested in Belitung and Jakarta was a follow-up to the leaders' retreat of President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong in Nusa Dua, Bali on Thursday, October 11. Syarial added that during the visit to Labuan Bajo, Ambassador Sriwijaya had met with several officials of the West Manggarai District Administration, Ministry of Tourism, and related stakeholders, including Bank Indonesia representatives in East Nusa Tenggara, West Manggarai Police Chief, state-owned enterprises, and business representatives in Labuan Bajo. Labuan Bajo is one of the 10 new Bali launched by the President during the Leaders' Retreat in Singapore in September 2017. The Indonesian Embassy in Singapore has promoted the tourism and investment potentials, especially of three tourist destinations, namely Lake Toba in North Sumatra, Belitung, and Labuan Bajo. Minister of Agriculture of the Republic of Indonesia, Sulaiman, said that the Indonesian and Taiwanese government have agreed to cooperate in the Youth Farmers Internship Program in a bid to establish young generations having capacity about modern and innovative agricultural technology. The objective was realized by Minister Sulaiman Amran's work visit to Taiwan, which took place on October 9. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Amran Sulaiman was welcomed by Minister of Agriculture of Taiwan, Sung Sin Lee. Minister Amran said in a written statement in Jakarta on Sunday, October 14, that the Taiwanese government offers an internship program for Indonesian farmers to learn about modern agriculture directly from Taiwanese farmers. Minister Amran added that cooperation is very strategic in supporting the Ministry of Agriculture's program to establish innovative agricultural human resources. And the last item, the Indonesian government encourages national business people to keep continuing expansion and new investments and increase export to Vietnam. It was one of the results of a meeting held by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Chuan Phuc in Nusa Dua, Bali, according to the report from Antara News Agency. Through a press conference held in Jakarta, Indonesian Trade Minister Erlangga Hartarto said there were some points discussed at the meeting. One of them includes Jokowi's hope for Indonesian business people to explore the potential of new markets in Vietnam, such as pharmacy and medical products. The discussion was taken place in a series of events at the 2018 IMF World Bank annual meeting. Minister Erlangga added Indonesia would use Vietnam's potential as an export destination and a regional supply chain for the national industry. Therefore, the Vietnamese government is expected to support the commitment by eliminating trade barriers between the two countries. And listeners, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo receives courtesy call from Palestinian Foreign Minister. The World Bank provides $1 billion US loan assistance for natural disasters in Indonesia. And listener, that's the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is World Appreciation for Indonesia. Well, listener, Indonesia successfully held two major events in October 2018. The first one is the Asia Para Games held in Jakarta on 6 until 13 October 2018. While the second one is the annual meeting of International Monetary Fund and World Bank Group in Nusa Dua, Bali, from 8 to 14 October 2018. At the 2018 Asian Para Games, Indonesia succeeded in becoming a good host for 43 countries participating in the event. This is evidenced by the statement of the President of the Asian Paralympic Committee, APC Majid Rashid, to the media before the closing ceremony. Rashid was very impressed by the organization of the 3rd Asian Disability Sport Event in Jakarta. According to Rashid, the Asia Para Games Organization Committee in NAPGOT has worked very well and professionally. He also said that the 2018 Asian Para Games was much bigger in terms of the number of participants, the number of media that cover, and the number of spectators who watch, and more lively than the two previous Asian Para Games. The second event was the International Monetary Fund World Bank Group Annual Meeting, IMF WBG, held in Nusa Dua, Bali, from 8 until 14 October 2018. Managing Director of IMF, Christine Lagarde, and President of World Bank, J. Kim Yong-kin also expressed their appreciation for Indonesia's success in organizing the international meeting. This appreciation was even followed by the provision of assistance worth $1 billion U.S. dollars to disaster victims in Central Sulawesi and Lombok by the World Bank. The praise and appreciation for the two big events are given because of hard work and good cooperation among the organizing committee, the government, the security and the Indonesian people as a whole. At the closing of the Asian Paragames on Saturday, October 13, 2008, Vice President Yusuf Kala affirmed that the Asia Paragames was more than a sport event among Asian countries. He considered that the Asian Paragames 2018 gives a spirit of equality in humanity and is an important momentum or part of the history of Asian nations, especially Indonesia. Hopefully, the 2018 Asian Paragames and the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank Group can give a good impression, not only to the guests who come, but also to the country and the people of Indonesia. The success achieved is a proof that Indonesia is a country that deserves to be taken into account and has more value in international world now and in the future. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our good program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on October 15, 1970 when Anwar Sadat was inaugurated as President of Egypt. Great General Muhammad Anwar al-Sadat is an Egyptian politician and soldier. He was inaugurated as the third President of Egypt on period of October 15, 1970 until October 6, 1981. By Western countries, he was considered as a person who was very influential in Egypt and Middle East in the modern history. In 1964, after holding various positions in the Egyptian government, he was elected by President Gamal Abdel Nasser to be inaugurated as Vice President. Anwar Sadat served the position until 1966 and once again from 1969 until 1970. After Gamal Abdel Nasser passed away, Anwar Sadat was inaugurated as the third president of Egypt. In 1973, Anwar Sadat, along with Hafez al-Assad, Syria, led Egypt in the Yom Kippur War against Israel. In 1978, along with the Prime Minister of Israel, Anwar Sadat created a peace agreement of Egypt-Israel, or well known as a Camp David, which was opposed by Arabic nations. Due to the agreement, Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin received Peace Nobel. On October 6, 1981, President Anwar Sadat was shot dead in a military parade by the soldier of Islamic Jihad Organization, a hardline organization which opposed peace agreement between Egypt and Israel. The next event is that in 1990, when Soviet Union leader Mikhail Gorbachev received Nobel. Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev was a Russian politician leader of Soviet Union in the period of 1985-1991. On March 11, 1985, he became the fifth General Secretary of Soviet Union Communist Party to replace Konstantin Kernenko, who passed away. In his government, Mikhail Gorbachev carried out huge changes in economic and political system, indirectly or directly triggered the dissolution of Soviet Union. He resigned as a president of Soviet Union on December 25, 1991, following COP attend by hardline in Moscow in August 1990, which was triggered by the external conflict on plan to change the form of the state. Gorbachev received Peace Nobel on October 15, 1990. Because of Glasnost and Perestroika program, and also received Freedom Award of Ronald Reagan from his former rival Ronald Reagan in 1992. And the last event is that in 1998, the National Commission on Violence Against Indonesian Women was established. The National Commission on Violence Against Indonesian Women is an independent state agency in Indonesia, which was established as a national mechanism to eliminate violence on women. The agency was established on October 15, 1998, based on Presidential Decree No. 181/1998, which was received by Presidential Regulation No. 65 and 66/2005. The agency is one of the three national human rights agencies available. Two other agencies are National Commission of Human Rights and Indonesian Child Protection Commission. The National Commission on Violence Against Indonesian Women was established on demand of civil society, especially women community, to government in a bid to create state's responsibility in supporting and handling violence on women. The Commission is one of national human rights institutions which focuses on enforcement of Indonesian women's human rights. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In our daily program, My Indonesia, with the title Indonesia-Singapore Agrees on 7 Items of Cooperation, President Joko Widodo and Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong held Gibraltar meeting on the sidelines of the IMF World Bank annual meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali on Thursday. The meeting produced 7 Memorandum of Understanding (MOU) in various fields. 3 agreements that were signed were witnessed directly by President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong. First agreement is the cooperation and increasing and protecting investment between Indonesia and Singapore. President Joko Widodo at a press conference in Bali on Tuesday said that this cooperation is expected to increase the confidence of Singaporean investors in investing in Indonesia. The second collaboration is in the field of financial technology, fintech. Indonesia and Singapore are committed to arranging details of support provided to develop the fintech industry in both countries. Meanwhile, the third collaboration is in the field of cultural heritage for the period 2019-2021. In addition to the three collaborations, there are still 4 other cooperation agreements signed by the fintech of the two countries' ministries. The 4 ones are the development and implementation of Industry 4.0, cooperation in fintech programs for higher education, development of human resources for government employees, and cooperation in civilian schools. President Joko Widodo added Indonesia and Singapore are also committed to continuously developing the Kendal Industrial Zone in Central Java and also Digital Pat Batan Riau Islands. Both regions are built on cooperation between the two countries. President Joko Widodo said that in addition to economic cooperation, an increase in ASEAN cooperation was also discussed. According to President Joko Widodo, as the two founding countries of ASEAN, Indonesia and Singapore have a moral responsibility to keep strengthening ASEAN. Meanwhile, Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong said that Singapore would continue to increase its investment in Indonesia. He emphasized that Singapore has also agreed an MOU on industry for 0 to face the industrial revolution ahead. He specifically conveyed Singapore's participation in the Kendal industrial area, which will be able to attract 43 companies to invest their capital with a total investment of millions of US dollars. He said the Kendal industrial area is able to employ more than 5,000 people. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo or Jokowi received a courtesy call from Palestinian Foreign Affairs Minister Riyad Al-Maliki at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday. The World Bank provides up to $1 billion in loans in the form of loans to the Indonesian government to complement relief and reconstruction efforts in affected areas such as in Sulawesi and Lombok. The annual meeting of International Monetary Fund or the 2018 IMF World Bank Group meeting in Bali ended on Sunday, October the 14th. The success of the meeting held by Indonesia gets appreciation from Managing Director of IMF, Christine Lagarde, and President of the World Bank, Jim Yong Kim. Indonesian Ambassador to Singapore, Ngurah Swajaya, has promoted Labuan Bajo and Komodo National Park in West Manggarai, East Nusa Tenggara Province, to Singaporean investors participating in the 2018 IMFWB annual meeting held in Nusa Dua, Bali. Minister of Agriculture of the Republic of Indonesia, Sulaiman Amran, said that the Indonesian and Taiwanese government have agreed to cooperate in a youth farmers internship program in a bid to establish young generations having capacity about modern and innovative agricultural technology. And the last item, the Indonesian government encourages national business people to keep continuing expansion and new investments and increased export to Vietnam. It was one of the results of the meeting held by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Vietnamese Prime Minister Nguyen Chuan Phuc in Nusa Dua, Bali. And listener, that's News in Brief. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you Hoko Waterfall in Maluku. Stay tuned. Listeners, the nature of Maluku is so beautiful. It can be seen from many natural tourism objects, which are beautiful and can be visited from undersea tourism objects. Maluku has beautiful islands, beaches with amazing sceneries, and many others. Cape Besar Island is one of the islands in Maluku, which has many natural tourism potentials. One of natural tourism destinations is Hoko Waterfall at Hoko Village, Cape Besar District, Southeast Maluku Regency, Maluku Province. Listeners, Hoko Waterfall has fresh and clear water, which flows down through giant stone to natural pool under it. The pool has clear and calm water with colorful gradation of sky blue and also turquoise green. At the pool, tourists can swim while enjoying the beauty of Hoko Waterfall. In addition, the tourists can slide from the giant stone to the pool which is under it. Because of its beauty, Hoko Waterfall becomes one of destinations worth being visited when taking holidays in Maluku. Listeners, because of its natural tourism beauty, Kei Islands get valuable appreciation of Indonesian Charming Award from Indonesian Ministry of Tourism in 2016, with the title one of the most popular hidden paradises in Indonesia. Although the waterfall becomes popular destination, its beauty and nature are still protected well. Listeners, to access Hoko Waterfall, the visitors can visit Kei Islands by plane from Patimura International Airport of Ambon to Karel Satuitubun Airport, Southeast Maluku Regency. After arriving in the Southeast Maluku, the visitors must use speed boat from Watdek Port to Elat Village. After arriving at Elat Village, the visitors can use motor taxi or usually called ojek to Hoko Village. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonderful today featuring Hoko Waterfall in Maluku. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is minum obat, or in English, taking medication. Stay tuned. Next, I will give you an example of conversation about minum obat, or in English, taking medication. Tony is ill and has taken to a doctor. Now he is at the pharmacy to pay the medicine.
Bapak Tony?
Ya, saya.
Ini obat untuk Anda. Ini obat diare, ini obat mual, dan ini vitamin. Minum obat ini setelah makan.
Baik. Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini?
3 kali sehari. Semoga lekas sembuh.
Terima kasih.
After the conversation, I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today, minum obat, or in English, taking medication. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Saya in English, I. Ini obat untuk Anda. In English, this is your medicine. Ini obat diare, obat mual, dan ini vitamin. In English, this is a medicine for diarrhea. This is for nausea, and this is a vitamin. Minum obat ini setelah makan. Minum obat ini setelah makan. Take it after meal. Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini? Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini? How many times should I take the medicines? 3 kali sehari. 3 times a day. Semoga lekas sembuh. Get well soon. If you want to ask about the frequency of doing something, start with berapa kali sehari means how many times a day, or berapa kali seminggu means how many times a week, berapa kali sebulan or how many times a month, and berapa kali setahun or how many times a year.
Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini? Means, how many times should I take the medicines? Berapa kali seminggu Anda berolahraga? Means, how many times a week do you exercise? For examples of some active sentences that mention frequencies in doing something, saya harus minum obat ini 3 kali sehari. Saya harus minum obat ini 3 kali sehari. In English, I should take this medication 3 times a day. Saya berolahraga 2 kali seminggu. Saya berolahraga 2 kali seminggu. In English, I practice exercises 2 times a week. Listener, furthermore, to give instructions in taking medicine, you can use these expressions. Minum obat ini 3 kali sehari. Takes this medication 3 times a day. Minum obat ini sebelum makan. Takes this medication before eating. Ini antibiotik. Obat ini harus habis. This is antibiotics. It must be run out. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Bapak Tony.
Ya, saya.
Ini obat untuk Anda. Ini obat diare, ini obat mual, dan ini vitamin. Minum obat ini setelah makan.
Baik, berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini?
3 kali sehari, semoga lekas sembuh.
Terima kasih.
Listener, now I will give you an exercise by mentioning the name, profession, the place for work, the day, office hour, and etc. For example, nama saya Andi, saya seorang wartawan bekerja di Surat Kabar Sinar Pagi. Waktu bekerja saya hari Senin sampai hari Jumat dari jam 8 pagi sampai jam 4 sore dan jam istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1 siang. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa! Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. You can listen to this program at www.voinews.id or through RRI Play application. In today's edition, we will bring you keroncong songs by Indonesian talented singers. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the first song entitled Sampul Surat by Wiwit Sunarto. Enjoy the song.
Datang
That was sampul surat sung by Wiwit Sunarto. The song tells about someone who received a long-awaited letter. There was no doubt how happy he was, and he wanted to read the letter immediately. However, how devastated his heart was, because what he received was only a sampul surat, or letter cover. Even though his heart was disappointed, the letter cover was kept as a memento in life. Her soft voice fits perfectly with the seductive kroncong rhythm. This song is an original kroncong song that was also sung by other Indonesian singers, including Didi Kempot. Although she performed a number of kroncong songs, there was not too much information about the career of this one female singer. Listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Setangkai Bunga Mawar, sung by Gina Sadeli. Listeners, you've just listened to Setangkai Bunga Mawar sung by Gina Sadeli. The song tells about a rose which is a sign of love between a pair of humans. The journey of love sometimes does not always run beautifully. Red roses, which were once beautiful to look at, are now just memories because loved ones have left and never returned. Although she had performed a number of kroncong songs, there was not much information about the journey of Gina Sadeli's music career in the Indonesian entertainment world. Listeners, we invite you to listen to the love story that has begun to grow since it first met. This song entitled Pandangan Pertama, sung by Sri Hartati. our togetherness at Music Corner for today will close with a song entitled Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam by Gina Sadeli. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Pada pandangan yang pertama, hati telah terpesona pada siapa ku bertanya, gerangan apa sebabnya. Pada pandangan yang pertama, serasa hati bertemu, tiada kata yang terucapkan, semuanya diam membisu. Jantung berdebar selalu, tiada irama yang menentu, nafas pun menyesak di dada, lenyap segala rencana. Pada pandangan yang pertama, aku telah jatuh cinta pada siapa ku mengaku, semuanya tiada selalu, tiada irama yang menentu, nafas pun menyesak di dada, lenyap segala rencana. Yang pertama, aku telah jatuh cinta pada siapa ku mengadu, semuanya tiada
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.